I'm joined by the one and the only Richard. Hi,
good morning,
Richard.
Everyone. Friday, 24th of May, 2024. Where is the year gone?
Oh,
where's flying? The month is flying.
It is.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with my sister yesterday, that when 2024 just like came in, the first 3 months were so slow.
Mm.
And the moment March
Ramadan
has passed,
AIDS, then bang. Here we go. Yeah.
And the next thing that I'm going to, like, I'm just, like, fearing, honestly, getting into July, because that would be, like,
halfway through the year.
Literally.
But it is busy. I was down at CabSat yesterday, and in around the World Trade Center, there's so many expos. There's a textile expo. People are down. And you know what it is, right? Like, you know, on the Love in Dubai show, you guys talk about cities within cities, and where you live, there can be communities and things going on. But in the business world, there's industries within the industries in the city.
True.
And like in the past, a huge expo might be the one thing that everyone's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, there's many, many different things. Like tomorrow, Love in Dubai are media partners of the first ever baby expo at World Trade Center. And that's niche. That's niche within niche, right?
That's
like
true.
So it's not even like parental expo. You have to have a baby or be planning or whatever. So there's just so many different things going on.
True.
I've just come back from Saudi Arabia this week. We were at the Creative Industry Summit one night.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, we're at the Food Expo, which is like Gulf Food. And it's just, to the point of the time of the year, you know, this sort of period between Ramadan, AIDS, and the summer holidays has been a kind of a 6-8 week window of back-to-back. The comedy festivals in Abu Dhabi, it's just a back-to-back period. But
I
yeah.
agree.
And the weather's getting hot, but it doesn't stop the city,
God.
It doesn't stop business. And they're so active, there's so many things. We'll talk a lot about AI, as you mentioned on the Instagram story, but you mentioned what we're talking about in the show. But there's just so many different things going on. You know, Smashy Business in one way covers the whole region
with
a focus on the Gulf, but it also covers startups, SMEs,
mm-hmm.
large cap companies, listed companies, soon to list companies, tech companies, global tech companies. You know, Farah, I was looking at... you know, we talk a lot about the IPOs in Dubai and
mm-hmm.
and ADX, and we don't really cover the IPOs and the Tadawul that much.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we've covered the big ones like Aramco and Savage and a few others. But, you know, and I know Waleed Shahabi with Lubna on Wednesday talk a little bit about this. But there's a kind of a fintech, insurtech
mm-hmm.
Platform, Razan.
Yeah.
Which is going public. And yesterday we saw it was oversubscribed multiple times. And that's within the domestic retail investor market in Saudi Arabia. There's only two banks that you can list with there. So it's just so interesting. There's so many different things happening. And of course, you need a business media like Smashy Business to
100%.
Keep you up to speed.
That is true. But speaking of Saudi Arabia, I've seen that you were at Saudi Arabia and... it seemed really cool. Tell us all about it. Tell us about like the summits that you've been. What did you see? What did you hear? All about business. Tell us, what was there?
Well, first of all, I went, we obviously have a practice of business there since 2017. We're the first foreign media company there. And you know, we've got Love in Saudi, Love in Saudi Arabia, and we have Love in most of the 13 regions in English as well. We have an office, we do Smashy there, we do lots of things. We have the biggest Snapchat shows,
mm-hmm.
Me and Kasser Social Media, me and Kasser Kora, got big shows. And, you know, in Saudi, I went, it was a mixed trip. I go to meet the team. We have business meetings and we go and we coincide it with conferences and events. And in a 4 or 5 day window, I went to the big boxing fight. It was called the Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it's kind of run by Turki Al Sheikh, which kind of falls under GIA, the General Entertainment Authority, which is managed by Sela, a kind of a group that manages all that. And they had it in Kingdom Arena. Kingdom Arena is a new stadium that was built quite quickly next to Riyadh Boulevard. So you'll see photos of like a Saudi Times Square, and that's where Riyadh Boulevard is. And they've got Boulevard World, which is like a, how would I say for a Dubai audience? It's like City Walk meets
downtown?
Global Village.
Oh, okay.
In terms
wow.
of, they've got all the different islands, like you've got all the different areas like Greece, Japan, all the different places. And that's related to Boulevard. And then the other side, you have Kingdom Arena, and that's where Al Hilal play their games. Al Hilal are the champions of Saudi this year, the Russian Saudi Pro League. And of course, there was thousands of people for the fight. It was a $100 million purse. That means the prize money was that amount, but the fight itself cost a lot more to put on, obviously. Very well run, extremely well run. Everyone associated and related to that should be proud of how they run it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, very good fight. It's world-level boxing. Personally, I'm not a big fan. I don't really believe in violence, and it sounds like, you know, I'm a bit hypocritical. I go to these events, but I don't really believe punching people in the head should be a sport. And I shouldn't really publicly say that,
but
I better be careful. Ali's looking at me in the studio, our producer who's a boxing fan or an MMA fan. But, you know, I just don't, you know, I do think that as time goes on, I think there's going to be more people talking about this stuff as other sports have been banned in the past. But anyway, I digress. The boxing was a big event. And then the two other events we went to were the Creative Industry Summit. So Creative Industry Summit, Farah, started in Egypt. A lady called Mai Salama started it many years ago. And it's quite successful in Egypt. It's all-encompassing. It has a lot of things going on.
Sure.
And they did their first one in the Jax district in Riyadh, so near Diriyah, on the west side of the city. And it was amazing. That's where Middle Beast have their offices, where Vice have their offices. It's kind of, again, like Al Quds meets D3.
They both simplify art in different ways.
Arts, creativity. And this was very much a creative industry summit, a little bit like Dubai Links, but it had a Saudi flair to it.
Yeah.
You know, the opening, it was all in Arabic. The opening talks were from the Saudi creative directors. The booths in the warehouses were all by the Saudi emerging media. And to answer your question, it gave a really, you couldn't help but think there's creative people at work.
100%.
You know, there's a lot of creativity going on in Saudi.
I can imagine. But there's one question before I start with our headlines. Did you meet Cristiano Ronaldo?
I didn't meet Cristiano.
Okay.
No, I didn't. But the guy who runs the NBC Loud, a guy called Brian.
Yeah.
He's the guy, the DJ, who just launched this new station.
Okay.
And he's making a joke about trying to meet Cristiano as a running theme on the show. And he was sitting behind me and he was like, "Where's Cristiano?" So we actually had really good, maybe this is why I'm saying such good things about the event, but they gave us, for once, they gave media ringside tickets. So we were really close to the ring, but our, you know, the ring is obviously square.
Of course, yeah.
And our side was the exact opposite to Cristiano. Yeah. So the closest we saw him was through the ropes.
Maybe this much. You've seen it this much. It's like, you know, it's like when they lie to you and then they tell you, "Oh yeah, this apartment has the Burj Khalifa view." And it can be like,
You can see the Burj Khalifa from far away.
It's there.
Yeah, we were ringside and he was ringside. It was just a different side. But no, we were happy with our positioning, and we didn't meet Cristiano. I've been at lots of events in the past, the Globe Soccer Awards in the past, run in Dubai every year, and Cristiano has been coming to that for a number of years. So he has sort of walked by me a couple of times and stuff like that. But you know, he came late, as in he came on time. The fight was late. The ring walk started at 1 a.m. And you know, what's one of the things that Cristiano had to adjust to?
Yeah.
I think Iberian, that Spanish thing, that they're kind of later people than UK and US. But you know, footballers generally play games, you know, at about 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. But in Saudi, the games kick off at 10 or 11 p.m. So in the last sort of 2 years now, he's been in Saudi. Has it been 2 years? No, 1 year.
Yeah.
Since January 23.
Since one and a half years.
Yeah. Like the World Cup ended.
After the World Cup ended.
Exactly. But he's adjusted and he came to the fight. He sat beside Anthony Joshua. You know, there was viral clips. There was a lovely, funny meme where Neymar said hello to him and pointed in the backward, "I see you're with your son, Cristiano, you know, Junior.
Yeah, Junior."
And he said, and Cristiano, in both of them speak Portuguese because Neymar is Brazilian.
Yeah.
And Cristiano said, "Yeah, I said he can come to the fight as long as he makes school in the morning."
Oof, my God.
So he had to get up for school. And the fight ended like at about 3:30 a.m. So poor Cristiano Junior had to get up.
I mean, regarding the fight, I wonder what rage the boxers and the fighters have to go in and just like beat someone.
What, rage?
The rage that rage, they must have inside of them to beat someone.
Look, there is a sport there, right? Like there's a technical fitness thing where a lot of it's defensive and you get points for, you know, it's not pure violence, but there is a degree of, you know, brain damage and things that can happen if you're getting punched your lights out all the time.
Well, it's a job. It's a job. So I'm going to be going briefly of our top stories for the day. So Dubai Future Festival, we're going to be talking all about it, a deep dive into AI's potential, and as well, Sarwa Digital Wealth fined for $390,000 by DIFC regulator. Shuruq strengthens UAE South Korea bonds with $100 million fund, and UAE and France forge AI investment partnership for technologies investment. Of course, these are all AI, by the way, focused, because AI is scary. I've mentioned on the show several times that I do fear AI and I'm very fearful of it. So UAE and France forge AI investment partnership for technologies advancement. The UAE and France have joined forces for an artificial intelligence investment partnership, signaling a significant step in the Emirates' technological advancement aimed at enriching both nations' AI ecosystems. So of course, this is one of the biggest thing ever, as mentioned, that they are all both teaming up because they would want to boost their technological progress by investing in AI together, which means that they will be sharing sources, skills, money to support AI projects. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, there's in the Post and Smashy Business, we showed photos of His Highness Mohammed Zayed and President Macron. And, you know, there's a link between those leaders. Mm-hmm. We've seen the UAE-France bilateral climate investment program. We've also seen the Louvre and the investment from Abu Dhabi in there, in the cultural district in Sadiat. So there's links there. I think to see France in the headlines for global AI is unusual. Up until now, they haven't been a player. But, you know, there's lots of things happening in the semiconductor space and chips investments. And, you know, both Saudi and the UAE are very prominent in their investments there. So I think any headline that sees investment from this region in AI is should be a good one. Regulation should be, I say, but it's positive to see. And also any headline around AI and partnerships is also good as well, because it will take partnerships, not one going alone, to see human advancements in technology and AI as well. But
I actually really do agree. And by the way, this means that not only that they will be sharing sources, they will be as well combining their strengths in AI, of course, research and development, which they aim to speed up advancements in area like healthcare, transportation, energy, and finance, which is exciting because, like, these, I would say, things that they are actually trying to invest in is the greatest and the biggest. Now, let's jump to our next story. So, as I said, Sarwa Digital Wealth has been fined for $390,000, of course, by DIFC regulators. So the UAE-based robo-advisory startup Sarwa is facing fines totaling 390,000, which, by the way, equals to 1.43 million dirhams from both the Dubai Financial Services Authority within the Dubai International Financial Center, of course, and the Financial Services Regulatory Authority within the Abu Dhabi Global Market. So, which is, by the way, kind of like shocking.
Yeah, it's a big story. It's a big story. Like, so, you know, fintech and investments in apps and finding other ways for people in the UAE to invest their finances has been something that's been so positive in the last few years. There's Baraka, there's a few others as well. And Sarwa's founders have done such a good job. They've created a good brand. They've created trustworthy audience. Some of the things that stood out to me in this is that they actually had 100,000 users that they sent emails to. I think reading between the lines here, you know, it is good that the DIFC courts are watching this space, because, you know, there is a reputation, especially with crypto. You know, we've seen with Sam Bankman-Fried and CZ that, you know, there's a reputation that some new emerging technologies aren't regulated in the same way. And people's money and finances, you don't want to be scammed. You've talked about scams a lot. So there is, so on a positive, it is good. Mm-hmm. On a negative, it's sad to see, and, you know, I'm kind of being on the side of Sarwa here, it's sad to see that a company that's done so well You know, $390,000 is going to be a hit. It's going to be hard for them. Like, they're most likely not profitable yet as a startup app. It's going to be really hard for them to stomach this one. I don't know what, exactly how much they've raised, but we'll look into this story more. But at the same point, you know, people are commenting on the Smashy Business story. How does this affect current users? Someone else said, I was just about to set up my account. It does look, Farah, that it's not about the money that you have in the app. Yeah. So they haven't, like what happened with FTX, they haven't taken your money and misused it. So whenever you put money into these apps, you look at the graph and you assume that when it says you're up by 9%, you assume that your money's safe. And with FTX and things like that, your money disappeared. So in this case, it's not about the money that went up or down, that your money in their app. It's actually what the mistake that they made is that they went crowdfunding for $2 million and then a subsequent $2.1 million into escrow accounts. So they went out to get investments. So like in other countries, you can do crowdfunding, mm-hmm. like it's Kickstarter.com. There's many of these platforms. A lot of startups in this region use Eureka, which is a UK British listed one to raise money from people. But this is very much regulated here, and there isn't those options as easy for people to go on Kickstarter from here. So they did that. They did their own Kickstarter and they raised millions from their users, mm-hmm. but they shouldn't have. And I think they're being slapped on the wrist for this.
That is true.
But I do hope, and I think by this transparency and this news getting out, I do hope that they will be able to absorb the fine. Check their Instagram and they haven't come out with a statement. I think this is part of the stuff that you need to get better at comms. You need to talk about, you know, that, okay, this is a fine, but it's not a fine and they haven't misused any of their users. It's just that crowdfunding in this region is regulated different than anywhere else. If they did this anywhere else, it'd be totally fine. But the fact that they've done it here, that crowdfunding isn't allowed in this way, they're getting fined. And, you know, hopefully that'll be a lesson for everyone as well.
I agree with you because they haven't gotten the approvals for their sales, which, by the way, like as you said, it just like got back at them. You know, it's like the tables have been turned. But as you said, it's a very important and a very exciting application that they have gone. So hopefully they'll be able to get back on track as soon as possible. So for our next story, Dubai Future Festival, we're going to be, it's like a deep dive into AI's potential again. Speaking of AI, so Trend Hunter, CEO and top innovation, had a keynote speaker, Jeremy Kutch, I say his name is, accompanied by multiple innovation experts. You know, they all explored the future of technology and AI through various workshops. He talked and there was a panel discussion and as well tech demos in partnership with the XP Live. And now he was at a summit that provided with data-driven insights into embracing artificial intelligence.
This is coming up on the 5th and 6th of June this year.
Yes. Which is, by the way, I'll say something. I, till this day, fear AI.
Yeah.
I actually do fear AI. Even though, like, I understand that AI is there to help us be better and be, I would say, more innovative, even at our jobs. But at this point, I don't know if you have seen the CNBC's post on their Instagram of their presenter, but in AI form. Mm. She was not there. It was the AI.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on AI?
Look, I think the fact that there's a future festival with someone like Jeremy Goodse speaking from Trent Hunter, you know, talk about this stuff is good. Why? Because we need to learn about it. I think we need to embrace it. Mm-hmm. I think any entrepreneur in the past who doesn't accept that technology change is inevitable, or any business or any career person, will get left behind. I hear you, Farah. I think, you know, obviously jobs and security is a thing, and so is human survival is a thing.
I agree.
I think, look, like it's just, we, you know, we talked about regulation and fintech. If we can talk about regulation with AI, partnerships with Abu Dhabi and France, if we can just embrace this stuff, I think we can have a very exciting time ahead. It's, you know, we all like excitement. We all like new things.
Yeah.
And if the world was boring and there was nothing happening, you know, I would get bored.
Yeah.
So I need to be stimulated.
Richard needs to be all the time like on his feet, you guys. I promise. If you would see Richard, I don't know how do you live your life. If you are taking a vitamin pill, please give it to me.
I just went back on to Bionic. They were on the show before. On Dubai Works, the founder, Bionic. So I just went back onto Bionic because I went off them last July and I didn't have a great year. I tried other supplements, but I went back on Bionic. But yeah, like I think let's just embrace technology. Let's embrace AI. I will be taking supplements. I'm not sure if I'll be putting microchips in my brain.
Like we never know.
Elon Musk has done with a test dummy. But look, we saw, you know, the general view on AI is that there will be a device.
Yeah.
The stage that I think we're at the moment is there's a lot of software stuff, LLMs with Grok, with ChatGPT, OpenAI, and all these large language models. But then on the other side, you've got all these semiconductors, chips, hardware. NVIDIA's price went through the roof again this week. And other people are trying to get in the semiconductor space, such as this region. So what's going to happen with both the hardware and the software? And what happened when music was going through a shift? Yeah. We saw MP3 players. Mm-hmm. And MP3 players were a bit crappy, right? Around between 2003, 2007. And then, even before that, the iPod came out in about 2003.
Yeah.
But even before that, like 99, after the Sony Walkman, up until MP3s, where you had MP3 player files instead of inserting a disc into a Walkman and pressing play.
Oh, God.
Then you had that. And I think we've seen two devices, Rabbit.ai, Rabbit, not to be confused with the Egyptian startup company, and Humane. Humane, ex-Apple guys, Humane AI. It's a device that launched with furore, with, you know, big excitement, less than a year ago. And it's already flopping. They're looking to sell the company. So, you know, people laughed at it and whatever. But it just shows the stage that we're at. Like, these are the first movers.
Mm.
You know, when Facebook launched in 2005, you had Friendster, you had Bebo, you had MySpace. They weren't the first movers. And I think what we're going to have is, because the way this is going, that we will have an AI device. It might be in our phone, but I do think it could be a wearable. And this is going to be something that knows us. And it knows everything about us. And it's going to make our life easier.
I would rather die than have that.
Don't say that.
Yeah, I think maybe I say that, but maybe when everyone's going to be like, that's like wearing that wearable AI device, I'll be like wearing it. I don't know. Well, let's not go down.
What are your weekend plans?
My weekend plans, actually, I'm seeing my family.
Okay.
Yeah, I spent time with my family.
How do you know? Do they know they're going to see you? Do you live with them?
Yeah.
Okay, but have you planned something? Are you going to be somewhere at a certain time?
No.
Okay. What else are you doing? When's the next event that you've got coming up with your friends?
Tonight we have an event.
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm going to work for ice cream, which is very cool.
Okay. How did you organize it?
Organized it.
What?
RCS. Of course, you know, we had like it's an organization that I'm going to be going to. It's a friend. He has invited me to the ice cream event, which is very cool. I love ice cream.
Okay, but how did you know you were available? Is it in WhatsApp?
Yeah.
How are you going to get there?
Car.
Okay, so what AI will do is it will plan these things for you.
Okay, so guys, Richard is trying to put me in.
No, it's just going to make everything that you spend time with. You know,
yeah.
We all got used to Ubers and Deliveroos and all these utility apps. And everything else, AI is just going to help us.
I don't know. Look, it could be. But I would say this again. I said it before. If I can go and live in a farm, I wouldn't mind. And have a cow. And have a goat. And I don't know.
You know, cows need to be milked 365. So you can never, ever, 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 ever take a holiday. Ever. Ever.
Okay.
Cool?
Yeah, cool.
Ever. Because that's what Irish farmers did. They milk cows forever. No holidays.
Not at all.
Holidays are made up concepts. So are weekends.
That's true. Okay, well, you know what, Richard? I think I might back out of this. I want AI into my life. I prefer. Do you prefer a holiday or a weekend?
Neither.
Oh, God. Yeah. Who am I asking, by the way? Who am I asking? I mean...
What is this question?
My God, I mean, of course, yani, honestly, I'm sorry, guys, but yani, the one and the only Richard.
All right.
On a holiday, that is, I would never believe that. But anyway,
consistency. So,
yes.
Same thing every day.
Which
just
is
add,
why.
Just add AI.
Which is why I want to know the pill, the vitamin that you take, because there's no way I would be having the mental capacity as much as you do.
I think you have the mental capacity as much as anyone. We're all the same. Well, all have the same mental capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except you, Hashem.
Yeah.
You're superior. All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Bye from me.
Bye from me.